And a good Wednesday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are in our Wholesale Inc. studios, powered by Rumble On. Maybe for the last time for a while. Who knows?
You never know.
As we clean up. We clean up from those morning guys.
It's important.
Could you pass those over?
Do you want some?
I would, actually. Yeah, I was kind of waiting for that to get passed this way. How are we doing?
It's nothing personal.
I just kept scrubbing.
I see that.
It's very shiny. I could brush my teeth with the glare right now on the table. It's fantastic.
We're doing our job. Doing the job. That's your job every day. Flatten that curve. Do what you can.
I'm trying to figure out how we're going to stay in shape. Got the last workout in yesterday.
And then they said,
we're going away for a while.
In the gym?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's coming.
Well, I said, it's here. It's not coming. It's here. They said after last night as of 8 o'clock, we're closed. All the Y's in Middle Tennessee.
Yep.
So don't give me any junk food today, Chase.
You know what's, from a sports angle, that is what I see a lot of physical therapists and strength trainers doing is putting their workouts online. What can you do at home? We got to get into that habit of doing it in our houses, right? Sometimes it's hard to motivate to change your habit to work out at home. I don't know about you. I got to get up and get out to go do it. I have a hard time. Even if I had a full gym in my house, which I don't.
I would love to.
I don't know if I would do it.
I know. I agree. It's a fair point. I've always wondered, if I had, a kick-butt workout room, really awesome workout room, would I stay as, motivated as I try to stay when I go to the Y? I don't know.
I don't know.
Because you're right. Once you get home, it's like,
start sinking into that couch.
Get comfortable.
Get something to eat.
You know what? Maybe tomorrow.
Yeah, maybe tomorrow.
But if you go out, if you leave the house, if you make yourself leave the house, then, you're going to do it.
Yep.
But if you stay in your house, it's tougher. It's definitely tougher. So I know.
Yeah. But we're going to have to find a way. I actually heard somebody say this. They're talking about how, when their kids come back to school, it's going to be online, or I don't know if there's some homeschool things. People are going to have to. This is all the adaptation we're going through. But they were saying, I think it was somebody in the state of Washington who early on shut down the schools, right? So they've been on homeschool, remote kind of school for a good while now. And they have to set alarms in their house because the parents are working at home. The kids are home, right? So the kids are trying to, in one room, they're doing their schooling, whatever version of that is going on. And the adults are trying to get work done, right? So you got to work together in your house so there's not a lot of noise going back and forth and you stay on schedule, right? You got to eat. You're going to have to be some self-discipline. I'm saying to myself yesterday, I'm sinking into my couch. I watched a documentary and then I watched the Pine Tar game last night. I was like, this is great. And then I'm looking at my, I've gotten absolutely nothing done.
I know. You're right. I start feeling guilty. But there's not,
But right now, there's not much. There's not as much to do.
Nothing we can do. Yeah. But I feel like I want to go do. Yeah. This is where we're supposed to be. Hustle and bustle month. This is supposed to be a crazy month. Instead, I watched Midway last night.
How was that?
Good.
Is that good?
Yeah.
I caught up on Picard. That's what I caught up on.
I don't know what that is.
It's a Star Trek show.
A Star Trek show. Picard?
Yeah.
He's the new guy. Not Captain Kirk, but he's the second.
Well, he's not
the
really
next
the
generation.
New guy. Yeah.
The next generation.
Yeah. But they did a show 30 years after the end of The Next Generation. He's retired, Patrick Stewart. And so it's about him and one last mission. So it's been good.
Okay. I like that. Thumbs up.
I saw
episode one of The Plot Against the United States of America.
I have seen that on HBO. I have not watched it. I've seen.
I watched the first episode. I didn't even know all that was going into it. But now I, with the coming attractions, I'm like, ooh, this is gonna be nuts. But I kind of like, I'm a history major, so I like stuff like that. But of course, this is an alternate way that history would go. This is a fictitious, you know, it's a fictional. I gave it. I'm in. I'll watch.
You didn't do a very good job of selling it.
I'll watch episode two.
You were kind of.
Well,
like,
it's hard to explain. It's hard to explain.
Kind of bored.
It picks up the action in 1940 in the USA, leading up to World War II. So you think, well, this is just a World War II, but then you come to sort of find out that this is an alternate version of, I guess, what in somebody's mind could have happened if something went another way. So we're there. It's only one episode. I tried to get my wife, Erin, sucked into it. She refused. She didn't do it. She's hard to get in because she wants to binge watch. She wants to prevent herself from doing that. She's tough with that. She wants to watch a movie and then get out of there.
Okay. No fault in that.
I did watch what I think you've seen this, Darren, the On the Basis of Sex, the Ruth Bader Ginsburg story.
Watched it many times.
It's a good movie.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Circulating a lot on the movie channels right now, whatever band it is, HBO, yep. I guess.
Seen that, but Midway, I'd give a thumbs up.
Midway, thumbs up, huh?
It's good.
I'm interested to see what movies start making their way to on-demand because the theaters are closed. And I believe that's part of the plan.
Direction they're doing. Yeah, yep. Some have already said what they're doing. It's like you pay $20 and you can get it.
Yeah.
I think that's how they're going to have to roll, right? But there's no choice.
The cable providers, they better have their stuff in order. This is a time for them to shine.
Netflix.
For all the beating that they take, their customer service stinks.
We are going to be relying on them.
The rates go up. This is the time, man. They want to suck people back in. You know, you make sure all your stuff's working.
Yeah.
You know?
Well put.
I would have that thing making sure that was a well-oiled machine right now because that's about all we have.
America needs you.
Oh, my gosh. We're depending on the cable providers? No. The Titans yesterday, they're going to sign Vic Beasley. Today,
of course, that happened after our show.
Today is the official.
But see, now we have a whole day. We can talk a long time. We know everything we need to know about Vic Beasley today.
I talked to a couple people down in Atlanta yesterday about that signing.
Yeah.
Let's just say they didn't enjoy it as much as I enjoyed Midway.
So they weren't saying, oh, man, we really hate that he's gone?
Yeah. It was kind of a lot of good luck with that.
Yeah, I've been told his work ethic like, is something question.
Yeah, but really, nothing really flattering to say about him. I'm like, oh, $9.5 million for a guy, really, Atlanta, saying nothing good about? Like, yeah, okay, good luck. Good luck with that one.
Think about this. In his 5 years in the league, 4 sacks, 15.5, 5, 5, 8.
Yeah.
If he had played like 2016 every year, he would be getting paid. But he didn't.
Oh, yeah.
And so the hope is it's a prove-it deal because it's a one-year deal. Yeah. But we talked about it last night on the free agency special. I mean, I know that if you get good Vic Beasley, then okay, you're obviously going to sign up for that. But can you get that? And the questions have been his work ethic and, you know, is he willing to put in the extra time? And he really hasn't. And so I don't know how that flies with Vrabel.
Well, what's tricky about a guy like him is, so he's got this rep, okay? He's a classic underachiever. I mean, everybody feels like his stats should look more like 2016. Maybe not like that every year. I get that. That's an incredible volume, volume of sacks, and I mean he had a huge year, but there's somewhere in between, right, of what he should be than what he's been for the other 4 years, other than 2016. So okay, he's on a prove it deal, so he's motivated. Okay, you've gained him 1 year's 1 year, $9.5 million. He's been beat up by people saying he's an underachiever, his work ethic sucks. A prove it deal. Okay, so he finally decides to pick himself up and get motivated. Okay, so he goes out, has a big season for you. That's great, right? That's good. But then what?
Right.
Then he wants the big payday.
Yep.
Well, then you let him go. So,
huh?
Then you just let him go.
Right, but then there's a lot of people going, well, how could you look at this guy? You've changed him. He's back.
You've
changed him. Like, you can't let him go. You gotta keep him. Oh my gosh. That's what people would do.
I've been pretty consistent about this though. I'm a fan of the 1 year take a deal. Now this is legit money. Right,
it's not a David Poyle special. This is not, he's done a lot with the Rangers, but nine and a half million is not really a good feeling about you. That's like three million.
Yeah,
not nine and a half.
Right. So Mike Ribeiro would be a great example of taking a flyer. Now remember that year he took a flyer on three guys. David Poyle. He took a 1 year flyer on Mike Ribeiro, which turned out to be a great buy. Ole Jokinen, who was not really.
He didn't last the whole season.
And then do you remember the third guy? Probably not. Because
Matt Carl?
No. Well, I guess you could say Matt Carl did do that.
You're impressed
good,
I pulled that
that's
out.
A, that's a good that's call. That's good a good one. Call. But it was another guy.
That was a good pull
but
right
another
there.
Guy in the same category once was a pretty productive scorer.
Oh, was that he's still here.
I don't think he's still here.
Okay. Then
no, you're Cody.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Derek Roy.
Cody Hodson, I think, was
Cody
also,
Hodson would probably fall into
that
category.
Yeah. Right? And sometimes it works, but it's not a huge investment. Now, Vic Beasley, what is it, $9 million guaranteed?
Nine and a half, I think. Right?
Well, no, it's 12. I mean it could get up to 12.
It could get up to
12. But the guarantee is
nine and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's I saw some cynics, which you have every right to say this. Like, I would love to have somebody give me $9 million guaranteed to quote prove it.
Right, nine and a half to say, show us what you're all about. Oh, okay.
I'll give you a chance to prove it. I'll give you a chance to prove it for $9 million.
That's tough love right there.
Yeah.
That's tough love.
But at least it's not a long-term commitment.
No television really for 30 you. Seconds. You learn your lesson, young man. Only three helpings for dinner for you. Yeah, $9.5 million. That's really tough love. Show us what you got, Vic. All right, we'll come back. TSSAA. We're going to find out a little bit on that landscape. Tom Crager, who covers them for the Tennessean. We'll talk to him on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game. I don't know. They claim they're coming back in early April. I don't know. We'll see. I have a feeling this school year is done, in my opinion. I don't know. My son would sign up for that, I can tell you that. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, we now say good morning to Tom Crager, who covers high school sports here in the Mid-State for the Tennessee. And Tom, how you doing?
Doing well, guys. How you guys doing?
Doing fantastic. So I guess the board got together yesterday and discussed the future of TSSAA athletics moving forward, and what was your take from what came out of yesterday?
Well, I think from the general census, from what I've heard, is that it's kind of the hope that everyone wanted to hear, that, hey, we haven't given up on state tournaments for basketball and even the spring fling state tournaments just yet. And I think, I'm writing a column right now, and I think that's kind of what we all needed to hear. I mean, do I think that's going to happen? I don't know. I mean, maybe something changes that we aren't aware of. Even Bernard Childress, the executive director, he called it, something that may think this is a pipe dream. And maybe it is. But right now, they received a lot of phone calls or emails from coaches and even athletes saying, please don't cut, please don't end my season just yet. And, and Bernard made it clear it may come to that. But as of right now, let's give them hope that we're going to have a plan in place in case it does get better.
Yeah, we can all hope, and certainly nobody wants this to go on longer than any of us want it to, but we can't control that. Are you surprised that it took them so long to get to this point? I almost feel like they were one of the last ones to finally cave in and shut everything down.
Well, Bernard, I've been in communication with Bernard for for since this thing started. You know, I did a timeline. You know, the first I remember the first day of the Division II state tournament over a week ago. You know, I asked him what's going on with coronavirus. Are you guys concerned? He said, well, we're actually working on a statement. And, you know, they have been with the CDC, and you know, the CDC continued to say, check with your, you know, for your local health departments. And they had been listening to them through this whole process. The Monday before the girls' basketball tournament started, they had a national call with other high school associations and other sports organizations. It was a 45-minute call with the CDC, and basically – you know, they said, listen to your state health department. Go by them. That the local officials knows what's going on in your community. And even when they continue to stay open with the tournament on Wednesday and then on Thursday, you know, they even said during that morning or that afternoon when they said, hey, we're going to have a reduced crowds. And he said that everything they were doing, they were told were within the best practices of what they are being told to do. And then it got to the point where I think when the NCAA tournament cancels their tournament and everything else, I think it got to the point, okay, what do they know that we're not being told by the local health departments or whatever? And they said that it was time to postpone the tournament.
Yeah, but weren't there baseball games taking place over the weekend?
I have a story on that on Tennessean.com right now that the state association does not control regular season games. They cannot stop a regular season game from happening. That's up to the local school boards. And I think right now the governor has ceased everything as of Friday, and that would include baseball tournaments. But I believe that's still just an urging. I don't think they even right now can stop it from what we've reported. But as of Friday, everything will be stopped.
Tom Crager is with us, is doing a tremendous job following this. So, Tom, I guess they discussed a lot of what you just said on the call going forward. I am 100% on board with trying to plan for a best-case scenario to salvage whatever you can. I think that's a smart move. Mm-hmm. But I do think there's got to be some emphasis to some people who have not – I don't know what the motivation is. I guess the information they're getting is not the same as – Major League Baseball or pick mm-hmm. any major sport really around the globe who mm-hmm. continue to play. I see there was a softball game on Monday over in Knoxville. I know there's been a handful of games being played here. Did they discuss that specifically? I like you just said, I guess they don't feel like they have the authority to say you can't play,
yeah.
But it seems like somebody's got to get the message to these guys, right?
Well, I mean, they have strongly urged them to listen to the governor's request to shut down this week. They did talk about, is there a way to do they want to institute a rule to make a shutdown? But I also had a board of control member tell me that he believed the legislative council would have to enact that rule for them to be able to do such a thing. This the way their rules are set up, and there are other associations similar to this, they don't have the authority in the regular season to shut down regular season games. I mean, and I know this is the example I've been given multiple times, and it's not a great example when you consider what's going on today. But the example given is like, you know, in the winter when you have snow days, they can't shut down. They can't tell people you're not playing. The roads are too bad because one, they don't know how bad it is in that area. But that's the analogy I've been given. I'm not saying that's the best analogy right now with what's going with this pandemic, but you know, that's the thing is they don't have the, you know, right now on their website, you know, they're urging, you know, that they're put on their website, you know, and they've sent out to schools, you know, the governor is urging schools to stop athletics. And, you know, I think I talked to a coach last night that played down in Florida last night, and I believe that was their last game. And I don't know of any games going forward. I think everything in that tournament down in Florida were ceased on Tuesday night. I think that was the last day. So I don't know of any games going forward. I understand your point, but I know the board is saying we don't have the authority in our bylaws to stop a regular season games.
It's a I guess that's a dilemma if you don't feel like you have it. Because this is unprecedented, right?
Yeah,
to try to get the accurate information to everybody.
Yeah.
And we're talking about a long state. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a big state, right? And you know,
yeah.
And so I wonder what the process is. One thing we've discussed, Tom, on our show is the process that you're seeing at a lot of levels, starting at the very, very top of our country, is you go from recommending to urging to having to sanction, right?
Yeah.
If people aren't getting the message. We've seen how that's happened just in the last few days. Every day it seems to change, and you have more strong recommendations, strong rules that are put down.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if it's got to be the governor that does this, if people continue to defy, I guess, what's being recommended strongly.
Yes, and right now I think the wording I think the governor has used is the word urge. He's urging them to stop. And I think really it goes down to the local boards of education of every school board, or every, if you're an independent school, whatever your board of directors or your chair, your board there. It's up to them to say, we're not playing sports. You know, we're closing school. We're not playing sports. And that's what the TSBA has said. It starts with them. They're the ones. We can recommend it. We can't stop it. You know, we don't have the authority to say no. And the question was, even if they went in there and said right now, we're going to stop it. Do they, if someone says, well, show me where you can stop it. And, you know, from a legal standpoint, I don't know. If when you look at what the TSBA has the authority to do in their bylaws, there is nothing that says they can stop regular season games, or has the authority to do it.
Yeah, I guess, are you better off stopping it, and you know, maybe more people will listen that way rather than, I don't know what gets you the desired result, because as you said, you know, you can fight back, but maybe for example. You might go, some cities, I guess, are on total shutdown, right? You can't.
Yeah.
You're supposed to not go anywhere, but that doesn't mean you can't get in your car and go to the grocery store. So, you know, maybe the stricter you are, the more the message gets through. I'm working through this like everybody else, but I was just so disappointed to see that people who noticed the sporting world come to a halt in terms of competition on the field or in the gym or anywhere that you have a sports competition. And yet people thought it's still okay to keep playing games.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and that's, I mean, let's see, I know, you know, they were the one of the last ones in the state to play, to stop playing basketball. But I think even, you know, they made their announcement that they're going to limit crowds on Friday. And they said at that time, hey, this stuff is changing by the hour. And
absolutely. So how much has changed, Tom, since from Friday to today, right? We know a lot more today than we did on Friday.
Yeah, we have according to what we're reporting, 46 confirmed cases, up from 21 in Nashville, in Metro Nashville. So it seems to be going up every day, and hopefully at some point we're gonna hit that we're gonna level off, and we can get some bit of normalcy at some point. Of course, no one knows when.
Talking to Tom Krieger of the Tennessean, and covers all things high school sports for them and Gannett. So with this discussion and everything and how it's been handled, and you mentioned the TSSAA, you know, they can't stop regular season games. It's up to the school system. Do you see any type of policy change now that they have, and I know this is a very unique circumstance, but now that they have learned so much of going through this process, could you see something changing moving forward?
And, you know, they discussed that yesterday in the Board of Control, and they said, as of right now, I mean, with the governor taking things over, and the thing that a board member told me when I was working on the store and why they can't is that they're not so sure, you know, this is an association run by the people, or run by the schools. This is a school association. All the board members are school officials, all the ways the council or school members. And they're comment, the one board member said to me, because I don't know if the schools want us to have that kind of power where we can just stop games whenever we want. I said, I don't know if that's what it would have to be voted on by the association. And I said, I don't know if that's what they want. I think a lot of us is thinking, with the governor stepping in on this situation, and and all they can do is they continue to give the schools as much information as they have, and they can recommend it. Please do. They made a recommendation on Friday that we reported on. you know, they gave them, here's the guidelines, and just let them know that, guys, you don't have to play any regular season games to have a postseason if we have a postseason. You know, and they made that clear again today, and they passed, you know, they made it clear that, you know, if someone doesn't play a single postseason or single regular season game, and they are fortunate they have a postseason spring season, they aren't, the people that didn't play a game can still compete in postseason play.
I think with that point too, Tom, it brings up something else that I think would concern me in this system that we have right now. And I understand the system is the system leading up to today, right? We've never had anything like this before, but in the whole idea is you don't have to play any games to qualify for postseason play. Well, I can still see a coach that is thinking not in terms of the global picture here, but just in terms of, hey, when we get through this, we're going to play for a championship. I got to have my team ready. Hey, if we keep playing, we'll have a competitive advantage over the thing. So it's an unlevel playing field when you don't have the direction clear. Hey, we're not playing. So, you know what I'm saying? Like that's what you leave when you have this situation that we're in right now.
Well, but right now, I mean, you're going to be shut down in really at the end of this week till at least March 31st is when the governor has asked that schools be shut down till March 31st, and maybe after that, maybe longer. And when that goes on, you know, they've gotten a ruling that does include high school sports events and extracurricular activities. So as long as that is in effect, no one's going to be playing. So I don't know. I don't know if you're playing Tuesday and your last, those that were playing Tuesday and those that stopped playing, say, Thursday, I don't know how much advantage that those guys got if you're not playing until, say, May or whenever. I don't know what kind of advantage that they those four extra days of play are going to help out with that much of a layoff. So, you know, I think that a lot of it is going to determine of how long we are shut down. Of course, right now it's going to be till March 31st, and then we'll see what, you know, probably before then we'll figure out if it's going to be longer or what.
I guess last thing, Tom, is just listen to you talk about the dynamics because you're obviously much closer to the situation than us. What real power does the TSSAA have? It doesn't sound like a whole lot.
Well, I mean, a lot of people said. I mean, they determine the start of the season. You know, they set the start date of when their season starts. They set the end of the postseason. They set the rules. Make sure everyone abides by their rules, transfer rules. You know, rules within the games. I mean, they just can't tell you to stop playing. You know, they can't tell you we're shutting it down. Again, this is a. This is an organization run by people. I'm sure there's a school that could make a proposal where they discuss that. They vote on it on all their regional meetings, and you know if schools feel strongly about it, they would enact on that. But right now, you know that's what they're. I mean, you're saying what powers they have? They actually have a lot of powers. They just this one thing that you know right now is kind of a seems obvious to a lot of people. Like why aren't they shutting it down? They don't have that in their bylaws. And, again, I've seen it where I think Indiana and other associations also have that same rule where they can officially tell you you can't play regular season games. We're shutting down the regular season for the time being.
Good stuff. Appreciate the visit. We'll talk down the road.
Great. Thanks, guys.
All right, that's Tom Crager. Covers high school sports here in the Mountain State for the Tennessean. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase next. So there you go. You heard what Tom Crager had to say about the TSSAA, and I still don't understand how you are an organization that's governing something and yet you have limited powers. I don't understand that. There's what other sports entity has that where they can tell you most things, but not all things.
Well, remember,
it's never made a ton of sense to me.
You know what I mean? It's like, right. Well, we could tell you, you know, rules and this and that, and when you're going, but yet they can't tell you to shut it down. I mean, what?
Well, it's kind of, I know the principle is, listen, this is our association. You as a high school choose to be in this association. You know, we're all choosing to do this together. You can go off and form your own association if you want to. I mean, nobody has done that. But that's, I mean, going way back, the split of the public and private championships had, you know, there was a lot going on with that principle.
So, right, but so, we have homeowners associations, too, and we don't always agree with them.
Right, okay.
But we pay dues, and that's what we've signed up for. And in the end, if they're telling you you can't do something, even if you don't like it.
Right, they have the
authority. They have the authority, right, if they want to say, well, I get it. It's your home. Because the people, some people are like, it's our house, man. It's our property. Right. We're going to do what we want. And then they can say, actually, no, this is what you signed up for. We actually do have the power to do stuff.
Right.
And so it's the same deal.
It is.
And I understand why coaches, there's a lot of coaches like, hey, we want to play. I get it. Everybody gets that.
Right. There's an extreme challenge of trying to find uniform bylaws, rules, classifications for an inner city high school in Nashville as opposed to a rural high school in Gallatin.
You're right.
Or you know, go
it's
over
not
to
one
Knoxville.
Neighborhood.
Right. Things are different all across the state, rural, city, classification, size, mm-hmm, public, private. I mean, we've got a lot of things.
A lot of moving parts.
So it is difficult. But in my opinion, because you can't just change the bylaws today because of what you're under. But it falls into I was thinking a lot yesterday when we had Mark Elliott on, the athletic director, and he was talking about their experience at Trevecca, where they had to go from we strongly recommend, we urge to we got to make this decision for you. Right, that's what's happening a lot in our country in the last few days. We go from
suggestions.
We suggest that you do this. We mm-hmm recommend that you do this. We urge you to do this.
Now we're telling
now
you.
Now we have to.
No,
we,
no.
We
now we're
do
telling
this
you to.
This
do
is
it.
We are now making this decision for you. I feel like there's got to be that some of that here, and it might start with the governor saying we're not urging you to close. We are closing. We're closing all schools.
Right.
And then that also means we're not having athletics.
Did he not say
athletic.
They could still play through Friday if they want? Did I hear
yeah,
that?
Because
I mean,
the schools aren't officially closed until Friday, I guess, is what he was saying.
Yeah, I mean,
saying.
If the governor makes the ruling, then I guess then they can't. So, because I was always under the impression, and I guess this is true from what Tom was saying, like when I was in school, if we had a basketball game scheduled for Tuesday, for instance, and it snowed, and even though I went to a private school, like the game had to be postponed because we weren't in school, so therefore, that was what I always understood. But it seems like things are a little bit different, or I didn't understand it right. One of the two. That's the point in all of this. Through this conversation, is I don't think we really understand what the rules are, and that's the problem.
Well,
you should be. If we understand what the NCAA, even though they're kind of crazy, understand, like, hey, we're not playing the tournament, we're canceling sport or postponing sports or canceling or whatever, it's pretty cut and dry.
Now, they've now canceled.
Yeah, canceled. So
that's
canceled.
Why our the leadership in all of our areas of life right now is being tested, because the leaders have to make what is not a popular choice sometimes here, right? And they have to lead. They have to say, look,
night,
I've got all the information, I've listened to all the experts, and this is the decision we got to make here.
Last
and everybody's
night,
got to go with
I
it.
I had to tell our baseball family. Like I know everybody. We're behind. Okay, we're all. Everybody's itching to get going, and I had to make the tough decision. And that's why I said I understand the coaches, but you just can't. You have to make the right decision. And I had to say, we're not getting together, folks. We're not. Just keep working with your kid on your own. But for now, we're just not doing practices. Even there are some parents we have found some side fields. Because, you know, I already told you all the parks are closed up now. By the way, Metro and Murfreesboro and all, they've all shut down now. This is what we say, right? Every day it starts at the unofficial desk. Still open. Wait till tomorrow. It'll be over in the official desk. Now they're closed. But I had to make the tough decision. And I suspect not everybody agrees with it. Nobody said anything, but I suspect, you know, there's probably a disgruntled parent or family that's saying, I can't believe we're not getting together. Like, we need to be practicing. And I understand that. But you just can't. Like, you can't right now. And I understand these coaches. Hey, if they're telling us we can do it, let's do it. Of course. You don't think everybody wants to play? We all want to play. We all want to get back to normalcy. We do. I understand that. But you need to understand that you can't right now. Like, you can't.
That's my concern, that the message comes through that meeting yesterday of, oh, he didn't say we couldn't play. He He recommended we're not play, but we don't have anybody sick on our
team. Nobody's telling us
we
can. We can get together every night if we want to.
We have no restrictions. That's what concerns me. Is we just have to make we want it uniform for everybody too, just for no other reason than a competitive standpoint. Forget about the health standpoint, which is the most important thing, but it should be the same for everybody.
Man, my nights are wide open. We could get together and practice every single night. You think that'll help us moving forward? Yeah.
We have news.
Well, we got news?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. Hold on. Hold on.
Wait a second. What do we got?
Is this a 10?
This is a 10.
This is a 10?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
This is a 10.
Can I read it?
I
don't like this.
Wow.
Ian Rapoport on Twitter. Source, the Broncos are trading for Titans defensive tackle Jarrell Casey in exchange for a late-round pick. Tennessee had quietly been open to offers for Casey.
A late-round pick?
I guess so.
A late-round pick?
Yeah.
Day three, it says. Day three draft pick. What?
Jarrell Casey for a late-round pick to the Broncos.
Wow.
Seventh. The Broncos have acquired Jarrell Casey for a seventh-round pick from the Titans, source said. He carried a big salary.
Well, I guess the cap room is the motivation here, but is John Robinson just basically saying he's not
okay,
worth
it? What does that mean?
Well, okay.
If you're clearing the cap space, then what is that?
Okay, here's Spot Rack already on this. Jarrell Casey brings cap hits of $11.8 million, $12.2 million, and $13.8 million for the next 3 years, leaving behind $3.2 million of dead cap to the Titans. So basically, and I don't know what it would have been like to release Jarrell Casey after next year or the year after, go year by year, but I guess essentially John Robinson is saying Jarrell Casey won't be worth $11.8 million against the cap this year, and they're better off clearing the decks and getting somebody else.
They're getting out from a heap pile of money. That's what they're doing.
Well, for the next 3 years.
Yeah.
But did you guys think Jarrell Casey had regressed to that point in his career? I mean, I know he's battled injuries.
I think it's safe to say he's regressed. Now, to the point of, did I want them to get rid of him? No. Because I wanted to truly see how Jarrell Casey and Jeffrey Simmons work together.
Now, this also...
That is...
That was exciting for me to think about. But remember, this is kind of a Belichickian move, right? But I'm surprised that's all they got was a seventh-round pick. I would think you'd get a higher pick than that.
I mean, he's 30. That's it. He'll be 30 basically all season.
And that's getting up there.
It's starting to, but...
It's getting up to a high league age.
You know, that's still not... It's on the back end of your prime? Definitely.
At best.
Definitely.
At best. I mean, most people would say your prime is 26, 27, 28. Right?
Yeah.
So you could say most likely
maybe
past his prime.
Out of his prime, okay.
But still could be very productive. But that's a tough one to swallow. But the old and trade him a year too early as opposed to a year too late.
You're right. That is definitely
that's a New England philosophy.
Move.
Yeah.
But to only get a seventh, though. I mean,
to get a seventh.
That's the thing. And I get I get the whole cap situation.
This is a Logan Ryan, you know.
Well,
whoever you prioritize, this is going to give you more flexibility to do that.
I feel like they're doing this, and I know that it's long term because it clears cap space long term. But you were only going to add a little bit more or even take less on the Derrick Henry deal if you get a long term deal because you could backload it. You could. You know how you can move the numbers around that it doesn't hurt the cap as much this year. But I'm curious if this is opening the door for a Logan Ryan re-signing or somebody else.
I think maybe you may be onto something.
I don't feel like this is it. I feel like there's something to go with this.
They're doing this for something else.
Oh, I don't think. I think there's no doubt that it's the PK Subban, right? You're not getting a return. It's that you have the freedom to now do something you want. In other words, Predators trade PK Subban for 2 second-round picks and a couple of minor league defenseman, but they had the money to go get Matt Duchene as a result. So that principle, I'm sure, applies here on some level.
All right, there you go. Titans have traded Jarrell Casey to the Broncos. We'll come back and wrap up the first hour next.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
Don't want to be a richer man.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
It's going to have to be a different man.
Well, there you go. Jarrell Casey sent to the Broncos for a 7th-round pick. I was looking at the Pro Football Focus grades the last 3 years of Jarrell Casey. So, that you know, they graded out his season. In 2017, he was an 84.1. 2018, an 85.9. Last season, a 74.3. Which I have to believe that's probably one of his lower grades in his career, if not the lowest.
Well, that's, I think, trying to wrap our arms around, is he past his prime? That's just one metric, right? That's one grading system. The Titans have their own, I'm sure, internally that they have to trust.
Well, they have their own.
I think it's reasonable
to say. Their own is their eyeballs.
Exactly.
They can sit there and look at him every day, yes.
No question. And they have the medical, you know, records to indicate, okay, where is he on that meter? But I think it's reasonable to say he is on the downside of his career. And everybody's different. So we'll see. I think everybody's going to wait and see what they now do with that freed up salary cap space.
Yeah, because
it's a hard move. This is a 100% pro. This is a guy that's beyond his production on the field. Like he is a character guy. Mm-hmm. He is a locker room leader. He's a guy that's grown up a lot since he's been here. I mean, we're going to miss Jarrell Casey.
Great guy to talk
to. We are going to miss Jarrell Casey.
We had some awesome conversations with him
a guy that
over
did
the years.
A lot of things in the community. I mean, this is what I'll never forget. The story, you know, a story that tells me a lot about him. Remember, he told us in training camp, it wasn't this past year, I think it was the year before, where he said he had to get on a bus to get to football practice. He would get on the bus in his football uniform, take like two buses and walk to get to where his team was practicing, right? He had to really make strong efforts to stay on the right path growing up and just to get to have the discipline, the self-discipline to get to practice and home, right? I mean, this is a guy that's got a lot to offer. I can see why the Broncos are saying, we'll take the chance. We'll take a chance on him as a 30-something, even if he's not as productive as he was. We need that guy, and he'll make a difference.
And as we just said, he's a great locker room.
And they get him for a 7th-round pick, right? Yeah. I guess they have the cap to take a chance like that. The Titans feel like, We'll trade a year too early rather than a year too late.
The best Jarrell Casey story that I've got is when we were at, what was it? What's the wing place in Cool Springs?
But Wild Wing Cafe.
Wild Wing Cafe. Yes.
Yeah.
Wild Wing Cafe. It was the Jason McCourty show.
The early days of the game.
The early days of the game. And we were doing the two of us were hosting the Jason McCourty show, and his very special guest that evening was Jarrell Casey. And so I asked Jarrell to give us some Coach O stories, you know, because at USC, Ed Orgeron was out there as the defensive line coach. Okay? Give us some Coach O stories. And Jarrell was more than happy to give us some Ed Orgeron stories on air, live, at Wild Wing Cafe in Cool Springs, in front of a pretty big crowd. Problem is, Coach O's got a little bit of a potty mouth. And Jarrell did not edit.
He did not
censor the comments, the story that he was telling with Coach O. And so that kind of went out over the air.
Yeah. But it was a great impersonation of Coach O. It was great.
Oh, it was fantastic. We laughed because we thought it was, not going out over the air.
We laughed, but we were also panicking at the same moment.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, what happened?
And you could tell Jarrell was like, oh, sorry.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I'm sorry about that.
I didn't. should I have cleaned that up? Yes, Terrell, yes, you should have cleaned that up.
Of course, he was a rookie at the time. Maybe did not.
He was a rookie.
That was his rookie year. Yeah. 2011, I think.
Is that right? So that was 9 years. That was, no.
Well, it was like the first
2012,
year.
Maybe 2012.
It was like one of the first
this
years
is gonna
of the
be
game.
Year 9 of the game.
Yeah, so. And I think it was within, it was like the first.
2012, I think.
Or the second football season.
So maybe
his
second
here.
Year.
I
maybe
was here.
Second year.
Oh, I think. What was his rookie year? I'm pretty sure he was a rookie.
I think Willie could be right.
I think he was a rookie.
Okay.
2011 draft.
Yeah, so this was the 2011 draft. No, so 2011 would be his rookie year.
His
so
Wikipedia page has already been updated, by the way.
It says he's with the Broncos?
Yeah.
Wow. They move that fast. It's a fast-moving world.
That didn't take long. What else is,
I guess
what
not
else
a lot
does
else
Wiki
to do?
Have to do?
I don't know. I'll
say somebody's that sitting at home in front of the Wiki.
Wiki's just as bored as we are. Yeah. Come on.
Watching Twitter, a lot of people are thinking the Titans are in on Jadeveon Clowney, which they very well could be. But here's another thing to keep in mind. Now, with saving, you know, the 10, 11 million, whatever it is, they could possibly re-sign Logan Ryan. I mean, it could be that they're trying to keep Logan Ryan. I mean, they're still going to need help at corner, probably going to address that in the draft too. But it's puzzling, but you have to think that there is another move to correspond with this, that this team is not in a position to just be like, we're not going to be up against the cap. We're just going to clear cap and go as young as possible.
Yeah, we're good without Jarrell.
Yeah, like they're not in a position
to
do that.
They're going to address it with something else on defense.
Right. And
I think those two options make a lot of sense. It's
because
it's
inside.
Clowney, because Vrabel would know. Okay. A lot of people, we all know the book on Clowney, right? He's the number one pick overall. He's spectacular. We've all seen the highlight reels. But the knock is, you know, that he's hurt a lot. And at times, you know, stuff that we say about Albert Haynesworth, it seems like he takes plays off. You know, he's great when he wants to be. But look, Mike Vrabel knows that. He knows that better than anybody. So if they're in on him, it's because they know what his makeup is. If they're not, it's also because they know his makeup and they know what he's about. The other one would be Logan Ryan. Once again, they don't need Pro Football Focus to tell them about Logan Ryan. They've got their own analytics. It's called their eyeballs. They've been around him every day. For how many years? They know what Logan Ryan is all about. So, to me, it would make sense, one of those two, I would think. I can't imagine.
I don't know of anyone else, really, that would fit. I mean, and a lot of the big names are gone. But, you know, again, a Derrick Henry deal, they pretty much already had the room for. So, I don't think they're clearing, because that $10 million or whatever already counts against the cap for the franchise tag, so you're just adding to it or whatever. But
tough choices in that salary cap. I don't think any of us did predict this, though, right?
I don't think
we ever talked about this.
Nope. We'll come back, head to Houston. We'll talk to Sean Salisbury. That's next on Darren, Donnick, and Chase.